Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Prepare Radio with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good morning and welcome to Prepare Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host. It is Saturday morning and we are continuing our series on tithing versus giving, what the scriptures really say. By now, we are in talking about giving much more than tithing. Hopefully we've all concluded that the scriptures are very clear. If you're using the scriptures as your authority, the scriptures are very clear about who should be tithing, what they should be tithing, when they should be tithing it. And from that clarity, we can conclude that tithing is not for us, but that we are now givers. And as givers, because that is now part of our new nature, we should be focusing on learning how to give. The very basic nature of God and us as spirit beings is to give. When we look at the big picture, why would God create anything within himself? And that's to share with others, with himself even, his very nature, himself. That's the whole basis of creating. It's the opposite of destroying, breaking down. Think of what a black hole does, for instance, is it draws all life and light and matter into itself. Well, God is the opposite. He pours himself out eternally. And we're only just beginning to have the ability to experience and understand that character within him, let alone within ourselves. But that is ultimately what we're looking for, is to be able to experience that same givingness ourselves. And we first experience that new nature by receiving what God is giving us. One of the things that keeps us from receiving is the misunderstanding of who we are, of who God created us to be, of how we work, how our nature functions in this time. So this is where we stand. This is where we focus on knowing God for ourselves the way he is now. And when we do that, when we allow him to express who he is, when we throw our arms around him as he is and embrace who we are, there's change that's going to have to happen. We are going to have to be willing to let go of some of our beliefs, because we realize that our beliefs are what we've been using to control. To control God, to control ourselves, and to control others. God doesn't hold that against us. fortunately. It's all part of his plan. So we don't rail against our flesh. We don't get distracted by the changes that need to be made. We stay focused on what he puts in front of us, what he is drawing our attention to. So often we think that our pleasing God or our relationship with him is linear. This whole concept of levels and maturity and aging in him, growing in him, becoming more spiritual. The underlying belief in that is that when we change to a certain threshold, cross a certain boundary or qualification, then God's relationship with us will change. In other words, when we have overcome a certain aspect of our flesh, then God will release more of himself into our lives. For instance, say you smoke, and you may think that when you quit smoking, God will be more pleased with you. What you're saying is that God is holding back because of your flesh. What you're saying, what you're really thinking, is that a flesh pattern that you have is controlling God. It's keeping him from being who he is. You're saying, you're thinking that that smoking, that that habit is more powerful than God. Let's stop and think right now. Is there anything that you're believing or feeling or thinking or knowing or are certain of that is keeping God from doing what he wants in your life? You may even want to write it down and ask him about that. Because whatever that is, if there is something that you think is keeping God from being all he wants to be in your life and doing everything he wants to do in your life, you're saying that that thing, that flesh, that habit, that mistake you made, your past, your present, your future, you're believing that that is more powerful than God. So many people are right now in financial circumstances, which is why we're spending so much time on this tithing and giving issue, because it all focuses around our finances, which God is shaking right now, which is great. Go, God. We need to get this settled. But if you think that the mistakes you made regarding your finances are keeping God from blessing you or protecting you or seeing you through this crisis, you're saying that your mistake, you are more powerful than God. And if you see that and you go, okay, well then how come he's not helping me? Well, first, he's the only one who can answer that question. Each one of us is going to have a different answer to that question. For some of us, the answer is going to be, he is helping you. For others, it's going to be, it has nothing to do with your finances. there's a curse on your family or on you, or there's a wound that needs to be healed, and God doesn't want to free you from this place until you've been healed. Or there's a choice you need to make, a change you need to make. Maybe you need to move, and you've been resisting moving, and you're insisting on God making things better right where you're at. And he's saying, no, I want to move you. And so you're fighting against God. But you're going to have to ask him and get the answer from him directly. So let's stop and do that right now. Lord, we just ask, whatever the question is, whatever the misunderstanding is, we give you permission to make it plain and clear to us now. And we overcome and deny all interferences, all intrusions. And we're just going to, Lord, give you a couple seconds right now to bring the answers clearly to our minds. And you may need to take more time with him. Set aside time, say 10 minutes for the next 10 days, every day, to give him an opportunity to speak to you about your beliefs. Now remember, whenever you make yourself available to God in this way, if you haven't been practicing this, you may have a hard time distinguishing between the voice of God and other voices that may be speaking to you. But for our purposes here today, just remember there's two voices that speak to the sheep. The voice of the shepherd and the voice of the butcher. When you start asking God, okay, my finances are a mess. Lord, you know, I've made all these mistakes, and I can understand how you're just letting me reap the consequences of all the stupid mistakes I've made. Well, that's you presupposing what God thinks of you. Well, take those 10 minutes and allow him to speak his truth to you, what he thinks of you, what his plans are for you, his solutions for this passing temporary problem. And if what you hear is loving and kind and encouraging and freeing, it's from God. If it's condemning and blaming and burdensome, it's not. You don't even need to know where it's from. It could be the world system, your flesh, or even the devil, any one of those enemies. Doesn't matter at this point. Just recognize, is it from God? Another good question to be asking him, Lord, this is what's going on in my finances. Are there additional changes I need to make? Remember to ask him yes and no questions. And we're going to be practicing some of these techniques as we start our webinars. So be thinking in those terms as well. We're going to be going topic by topic, subject matter by subject matter, how this applies, what this looks like, what it sounds like, how it works. Again, we're not saying this is the only way to approach knowing him and hearing his voice in particular situations. But this is between you and God. You don't need to go to someone to speak for God, for you, to you, through you. You have as much access to all the truth, all the reality that's available right within you. You don't need someone to go to God for you, to hear for you. He's perfectly capable of speaking directly to you, and he wants to. And that may be the reason that this is all going on in your life, is he's trying to get your attention. We've talked many times on how there are the three main areas that he likes to get, that he uses to get our attention. And that's our health, our finances, and our relationships. Because those are the three things that are most important to us. So when we find a crisis situation in one of those areas, we definitely want to start with, Lord, are you trying to get my attention? Especially if something keeps on happening. Like if you never seem to get ahead in your finances, or if you just can't seem to break through a logjam in a relationship, or if your health, you keep on running into health crises. Now, each one of those areas, God wants to speak in very practical terms as well as point us in the right direction. But the point is we go to him first. And we ask him, Lord, is there something that you want to speak to me about, or is this just something I need to address in a practical basis? Now, very often what will happen is, for instance, now so many people are in so much financial trouble is because they were not minding their finances. They were not being wise with their finances. They had no savings. They were way upside down in taking on too much debt, or taking on debt, period. And so on one level, the practical solution is to address those, develop new financial habits. But what happens is when we extend ourselves in these areas, when we overextend ourselves, we make ourselves vulnerable to the attacks of the enemy. This is one of the reasons it's so important to understand the difference between tithing and giving. Because if you think you are solving your financial problems by tithing to your church, even when you can't pay your bills, you're deceived. If you think giving to someone else in need, sending money to the American Red Cross for the Haiti relief, when you owe someone else and are late on your payments, and you think that's going to get you brownie points with God or with anyone else, you are deceived. God no longer works that way. He may have at one time, but he doesn't work that way now. Because remember, as a spirit being, you have already inherited the kingdom. All that God has is yours. The problem is your beliefs are hindering the free flow of freedom from him into your spirit and from your spirit into your soul. Your beliefs are filtering out truth and life and resources that are available to you. They're always available to you. But it's like if at the end of your life you found out that there was a bank account with your name on it. You're cleaning out your desk for the last time. The doctors told you, you know, you're going to go to the hospital and never come out. And you're cleaning out, you're putting your affairs in order. And you find a checkbook in the bottom of your drawer. And you didn't realize or you'd forgotten that you had this bank account. And you pull up your you contact the bank and you find out that it's got $100 million in it. And what good is it to you now? You could have been spending it. You could have been using it the whole time, but you didn't know about it. Well, God not only wants you to know about what you have available, but he wants you to be using it and accessing it now. This is not something he wants us to be put off. He wants us to put off until we're dead, and then we'll learn how to rule and reign. We have no idea what's coming next, but we do know that we are here to rule and reign now. What if God told you right now that instead of living 70, 80, 90 years, what if he told you, I'm going to make you the first person to live to 1,000 years? Would you plan differently? Would you treat yourself differently? Would you treat others differently? How would that affect your thinking, your believing? This may reveal our escapist mentality that we're going to get out of this. And then everything will be fine. We are turning our backs on the opportunity God has created here for specific purposes. And in doing that, and in turning our backs on the opportunity, we are turning our backs on the relationship that God has made available to us now. So when we talk about, and especially the phrases that we've been covering in Philippians 4, that we have cherry-picked out of the whole context of this whole section 10 through 20 in chapter 4, we use these catchphrases to encourage ourselves without wisdom. We use these phrases to emotionally pick ourselves up by our own bootstraps and try again. Those phrases are, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the other one is, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And we study those, and we put little magnets on our refrigerator, and we have bookmarks, and we put signs up. And whenever we feel depressed or anxious or worried, instead of turning to God, we turn to these catchphrases, thinking that God will honor them. God has to do this. God has to supply all my needs according to his riches and glory because I am in Christ Jesus. So this actually keeps us, our misunderstanding of the purpose of the situation we find ourselves in keeps us from solving and getting out of and using the situation we're in. We are passing through this life. But as we pass through, we are to be changed and freed. We shall not pass this way again. Whatever it is, there's something here. We have an opportunity. You, God has set aside specific circumstances and opportunities for you to learn how to rule and reign, how to experience full relationship with God now. And as he touches these parts of our lives, we want to go, what is where do I turn first? Am I turning first to my beliefs? Am I turning first to other people? Or my emotions? And we all have strengths and weaknesses in our temperament, and we rely on our strengths and try to overcome our weaknesses. So if we're emotional beings, we may have come up with the idea that I feel like this is God. It must be God. Or I feel joyful. I just really feel like I'm on the right track. And we stay there. Or I feel anxious, so this must not be right. And we rely on our feelings. Or we do something. We have to be active. We have a strong will. So we have to be doing something. There's nothing that we can't, if once we put our minds to it, our hearts to it, our will to it, there's nothing we can't overcome by force of our own will. Or we have a strong intellect. And we just believe that if we can just understand what God expects of us, we can do it, and then God will do his part. If we can just understand what God is doing, then we'll be able to endure it. Now, those are all reasonable exercises, but they will not result in truth or freedom or even wisdom. And unfortunately, so many of us have learned from being raised in religious circles that pick one of the, whatever one of those applies to you, that often will have determined your religious upbringing. You gravitated to the denomination or the church or the people that suited your temperament. And now that's all you've got. You don't know how to go beyond that. Not denying your temperament. God gave you that temperament. There's nothing wrong with it. It's not broken, and he's not going to fix it. So your job is not to turn your back on your temperament. What's important is, where do you go first? Where do you get your true information? Now, take those two phrases that we've been talking about in Philippians 4, and that's verse 13 and verse 19. Lord, and ask, Lord, when you say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, what does that mean for me in this situation? Is this something you want to talk to me about? Again, it's good to start with yes and no questions and then learn how to test, Lord, is this you? Now, a lot of times when we start setting our desire to hear from him first, because that's so effective, your enemies are going to rise up against it. And very often, because of that, God may not answer you when you think he's going to answer you. You may be driving, you may be in a conversation with someone else. It may be months from now when he points back and says, see, I answered that and you didn't even realize that was the answer to your question. So the time may not be right when you expect it, when you're setting aside time to talk to him about it. But then also take that other verse. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Lord, is there something here you want to talk to me about? This is how quickly we should be able to be talking to him about these issues and then moving on. God is practical. When you hear from him, it releases something in you. It gives you that freedom. It gives you that stability. Now, these two verses are very ingrained in the church these days. But there's more. You take whatever God, whatever verse is important to you, and let him speak to you about that. I'm sure there's other verses out there. Well, obviously there are. We've just touched these two. But whatever it is that you turn to, ask the Lord if that's where you want to, where he wants you to start. So, again, you're always welcome to drop me a line, Diane@wecanprepare.org, and I'll get back to you as soon as I can. And keep an eye out. We're still working on the technology aspects and how we're going to be doing some of these webinars, but I really think they're going to be a lot of fun, and really we'll be able to get some progress made in some of these areas. So thanks for tuning in. I'll see you next Saturday. Have a great weekend.